It's time for the Midwest Outdoors with Fred Ramsey and Mark Tobin. Brought to you by Reed Chevrolet, the Hearing Connection in St. Joe, the Sports Medicine Store, and Sportsman's Outfitters and Marine. Now, here are Fred Ramsey and Mark Tobin.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another edition of the Midwest Outdoors. Tickled to death to be with you this Saturday and every Saturday, I hope, about the same time, it seems like. Got a motley crew here in the studio today. We've got Boyd Metz, the father time of the outdoor industry, is here. My good friend, I've known Boyd for 40, maybe 41, 42 years now. And, of course, my co-host, the best fisherman in the United States of America, Mark Tobin.
As you can see, Boyd, he is just full of it.
Some things never change.
Well, guys, I have an announcement to make here today. Today is my anniversary.
Well, happy anniversary.
34 years of being on in front of a microphone somewhere.
Oh, awesome.
34 years. I did it with a handshake and no contract. Was on at KFUQ for 30-some-odd years. Yeah. I don't understand it. Why would you do this?
I thought you were talking about your wife.
Well, my sweet wife. That is in the middle of duck season, December 15th. Always interferes with my duck hunting.
What in the world were you doing getting married then?
Well, it's a long story to that. Neil came to my wedding. Neil Alders, a good friend of mine, and Daryl Porter. But anyway, it was the last day of duck season that year. And I said, we were going to get married. And I said, well, can't interfere with duck season. So it was December 15th. It was over. Now it runs into January. So she's so good about it. I mean, she should be madder than most. And I'm usually in a duck blind on. And some years, to be honest with you, I've just plumb forgot. Typical male.
Yeah, no kidding. But 34 years on the radio. Congratulations.
34 years. I figured maybe 6 months on the outside, before they figured me out. You know the deal. One time, do you remember Mike Murphy that was on the air in Kansas City Market forever and ever and ever? And I got to doing Mike Murphy's show one time, and I walked in there one day, and I said, Murph, I said, you've been doing this for a lot of years. You ever get nervous? And he said, I get nervous every hour.
Oh.
And I said, what? And he said, I have butterflies in my stomach every hour. And I said, why? You've been doing this forever. And he said, one of these days they're going to figure out I'm a fraud.
He was one of a kind, man.
Oh, he was nuts. He was my kind of people. He was a great human.
Living not too far from my mom and dad.
Is that right?
Squirrel Manor.
Squirrel Manor.
That's right.
Yeah. And I'd go in there and we'd do those radio shows. One day I walk in there with Walter Cronkite was in there.
Ah, that'd be cool.
Ally McGraw. Did a show with Freddie DeCordova. He used to be the producer of Johnny Carson show. It was the who's who of America. If they wrote a book, they came to Mike Murphy, and he would hype their book for them, and they'd make $100,000.
Oh, yeah.
It's pretty good wages back in those days.
Yeah. Need to be a little careful, Fred. You're dating yourself.
Oh, yeah. I'm old. I'm 67, running up on 68. I don't understand this. Been blessed, I guess. Only way to look at it, I guess. Maybe it's a curse. I don't know.
Well, my mother used to say, only the good die young, Fred.
Your mother was very smart.
She was. That's why I'm still here, I guess.
Really. How's the fishing been, Mark, before we
it's
get
really
carried
good.
Away?
Here?
That's
it's
what
really
I hear.
Good. Yeah. Truman is just stupid easy right now. But it's not everywhere. From what I've been hearing, it's pretty much any of the creek arms. And Main Lake is better, but from about the halfway point of the creek arms toward the dam, the upper end of, the Grand or Tebow or Osage, is not quite as good. I mean, you can catch some fish, but not as good for some reason as about halfway and then up going down toward the dam. But Main Lake, it hadn't changed too much. You might go through a few more little fish to get your keepers, but I mean, it's just not taking long to get a limit of fish. And they're down 10 to 12 foot of water. Minnow's still better than without. I did a fish fry last night. Oh, by the way, do you know what a fish's least favorite day is?
Friday.
And that's was what I did yesterday. I did a little fish fry
He
yesterday.
Has to come up, Boyd. Don't laugh at his jokes. Now, let's step in the studio. Don't laugh at Tobin's jokes because you're going to be banned forever on this thing. He comes up with the dumbest jokes I've ever. But
what the heck?
But people like them for some reason.
I thought that was pretty cute myself.
Friday.
So anyway, talking to a guy last night that he fishes Lake of the Ozarks quite a bit, and he is just hammering the crappie. But what he is doing. Now, I've got another friend that's catching quite a few, but he's fishing brush piles exclusively. And if you can find a brush pile 8 to 10 feet deep, then you can catch a few, but it's like two or three and then move on to the next pile. But this guy, he's not fishing around brush at all. And he's going out on Main Lake Flats. He's fishing up around the 54, 55-mile marker. And he gets on the where the flat drops off into about eight or 10 foot of water. And he's just slow trolling crappie jigs. He's not spider rigging. But he's slow trolling, and he's just finding that these crappie are just following around the schools of shad. So if you can find a school of shad, just fish underneath them. And he said, you just can't believe the number of fish he's catching right now doing that.
Hybrid bite on?
Just now in Milford, yeah, absolutely.
Really?
Yeah, on Truman they are catching some, but the guys that are doing that, live bait over there is definitely outperforming anything else, and that can be kind of a problem for some people. Yeah. Have you heard of, by the way? Thinking of live bait, have you heard of ever putting WD-40 on your live bait?
Yes.
I've had a guy tell me he does that on his crankbaits for walleye and catches more walleye with WD-40.
Yeah, I've heard that on flathead, too.
I had never heard about putting it on your bait, too.
I don't know.
But what the heck?
I'm from Missouri. You got to show me an awful lot.
Give it a try.
I don't know. Well, you know, fishermen are the weirdest humans ever walk face the earth. I mean, if you told them to wear pink underwear and you'll catch five more crappie today, the guys would go get some pink underwear.
I have some.
Always wondered about you.
Well, somebody told me that.
Oh, really?
I could catch more fish, No. Anyway.
Not wearing an earring?
Heck no.
Oh, all right. I just thought I'd ask. Don't get mad.
But our guide buddy on the Kansas side, Chap Martin, he should be on his way to the lake right now. He has a paying job today.
What?
But he's been fishing Melvern a lot, and the crappie on Melvern have been really good. He did, I think it was yesterday or the day before, he caught a bunch of smallmouth bass out there, too, and he had some really nice ones. Though, if you're so inclined, smallmouth are just a fun fish to catch. Hmm. They'll bulldog, and then they'll jump out of the water just like a largemouth, but they're fun fish to catch. But I guess there's quite a few of them to be had over at Melvern.
2 weeks ago, maybe it was two weeks ago, we were talking about Guy Park, which is right north of Platte City, little bitty small fisheries.
Right.
Evidently, we've got some listeners, and they went up there, and this lady got a hold of me, and she said that was the funnest fish took her kids. Got a huge bunch of those big hybrid bluegill.
Oh, gosh, how fun.
And fished off the dock. And I said, did you go down by the dam? She said, well, I didn't know where it was at. How's that water get in there? Well, they have a dam across the spring down there. But anyway, she thanked me. And she said that they had saw one other people on the whole place.
Wow.
They went down, I think, in the middle of the week, which is really cool. But she said it was so clear. And she said it was just a hoot. It had a lot of big fish. Got a lot of channel cat.
I need to go do that. It's been a long time since I've caught some bluegill big enough to eat.
Since I ain't got any listeners, I can talk about my secret spot. You know, I've been fishing that forever. I caught one of the biggest bass I've ever caught in my life down there one day.
Were you just fishing from the bank?
Yeah, and it was just unbelievable.
Did that lady that you were talking to, was she just fishing from the bank?
Fish from the dock.
Well, isn't that something?
Yeah.
That's, you know, there's a lot of people out there that don't have a boat and looking for a good place to fish.
Yeah, well, there it is.
That is, yeah. You know, where is that again?
Well, I can't tell you. I have to kill you. It's called Guy Park. It's right north of Platte City. If you're coming out southbound out of St. Joe, you take the western exit. And then the first time you can go back north on the blacktop area, you turn there, and it's got a great big sign that says Guy Park. And it's not a very big lake. But it's awful good. It's clean, and then it got great facilities, and just one of those little places that you need to know about, you know, from time to time. You know, I've got one other secret spot, but until I fish it a little bit more, I can't divulge it either. You know, I'm a real jerk.
Yeah, see, why you bring
it
up?
Really mean.
That is.
I shouldn't make a statement like that.
You mentioned that that'd be a good place to take a kayak out.
Oh, it'd be wonderful.
You know,
the wind.
Sportsman's Outfitter Marine, they are just getting ready to start selling kayaks. I think they've just got him in the back room right now, but I think we're going to try to get Joe Falco on. He's he's up in Canada right now. But we've got to find out a little bit more about it. But, yeah, that's going to be a great place to go grab a kayak. And then use it on little lakes like that. I mean, that'd be perfect. Oh. And how fun. My nephew, he bought two kayaks, one for each of his twin sons. And he goes down on Lake of the Ozarks, and he just slow trolls crankbaits. And he had a stringer.
I bet it would be slow mo.
Yeah. And I don't know if it was it's got to be the speed, but he had a stringer of white bass and crappie. He was trolling up in Rainy Creek, of all places, and these guys were bass fishing. And they were trying to catch white bass, too, white bass and largemouth, and they passed him a couple of times. And they finally came by, and you could see this stringer of fish floating behind there. They couldn't believe it. They hadn't caught a single fish. And he was out there in that kayak and had a stringer fall.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what it amounts to, in my humble opinion, which is worthless, but it's just a different presentation to the bait. You know, they're used to seeing the same thing.
Yep.
Thing.
Absolutely. Know? That's exactly what it is.
And so all of a sudden something's different and weird, maybe acting a little bit crippled, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. And so they set to take advantage of the darn thing.
Right.
You know.
And it could have been depth because he's trolling
sure.
slowly.
Could have been. You know, and I hate to say this, end of summer's not too far away. A lot of people right after Labor Day are going to want to winterize their boat, and Joe would be a great place to go.
Oh, it is, absolutely. Now, I wouldn't do it quite that early. I mean,
yeah, I wouldn't either.
I don't like to.
But a lot of people do.
Yeah, they do, and a lot of boats been in the water all summer, so they just get nasty, and I've got a lot of experience with that.
Yeah.
But let them do it. They'll winterize it. They'll clean the hull, and they've got all of the chemicals and things to make it a lot less work than it would be for you or me.
Yeah, so, yeah. And, you know, put the stable in the fuel.
Right, and that's so
they'll
important.
They'll know what to do. Lower unit needs to be checked out, see if you get any water in it so it doesn't freeze up and break.
They've got like a 32-point check that they do, and do that once a year, and you'll just get out in the water next year with all that peace of mind. You don't have to worry about those breakdowns.
Before you came in the studio, I was having a nice conversation with Boyd here in regards to, I don't know what. You get older, you get think different, you know, mm-hmm. and you want to save money more for some reason. Before, you know, we went through it like Grant went through Richmond. There was no instructions on money, and always spent it right before I got it. But I ran into, and I have a, I don't know how to say this. I get mad at being ripped off. You know, and we're all the same, you know, whether you're buying a rifle or a boat, you know, and there's just certain things in the industry that you just, you know, just drives you crazy. And you buy, I've had Polaris's and Kawasaki's, and I've had them all, you know, Yamaha and Argos. And so I ended up with a Polaris, it's a long story, but I ended up with one, and it's just a little piece of metal, you know, it's $300 to replace it when it breaks, you know, and you get so burnt. You know darn good well that they're producing that thing for $14.31.
Yeah.
So I've got some friends in the industry that are Polaris dealers. I've got three or four or five, in fact. And so I'm looking for the front differential of one of these Polaris's. And so I called a buddy of mine down in Columbia, and he said, hey, call Power Sports Nation. I said, who in the heck is that? He said, out of Norfolk, Nebraska. What happens is these are great humans. I got them on the phone. I couldn't get off the phone with them. They're the finest humans. And they were a third of the cost of everybody else.
Wow.
But what they do is that, like, this part that I bought, you know, it was totaled out or wrecked, and they strip out what's still the good parts, and they usually have some stuff that's got very low hours on it. And I just told them, I said, they're going to be lifting this morning. So, you know, they're just good people to do business with. Power Sports Nation, if you've got a Polaris or a Kawasaki or a Honda or whatever, and you're tired of paying a premium price, get a hold of these guys.
Can you find that on the internet, I take it?
No. I called a dealer and a friend of mine in Columbia, Missouri, who said, these are the finest people you ever do business with. Said, go visit with them. And a dealer told me to go deal. He said, because we just rip you off. A dealer told me that, you know, which is true. You know, Power Sports Nation, Norfolk, Nebraska. That's where Johnny Carson's from. Anybody know that?
I did.
Yeah, okay. Boy, you all right this morning, boy?
Oh, I'm good, Fred.
Okay, I'm getting worried about you.
Now I'm just excited to be
here. Tom's in the background back there. He's starting to bother me a little bit. He's different.
He's my man that makes all the pretty pictures,
uh-huh.
writes all the smart stuff, and informs everybody about HSM.
We're going to talk about HSM. Great product, guys. You're going to hear a lot more about it on. We got to take a little bit of a break. You're listening to the Midwest Outdoors. I'm your host, Fred Ramsey, with my co-host, Mark Tobin. We'll be right back with you. Just listen to music instead of talk radio, wasn't it? That sounds good to me. What is that? Wait, does anybody know that? Anybody got, who is that?
It's Led Zeppelin.
Sure. Well, I'm just old, that's all.
So you should know it then, Fred.
I should have. He's older than I am, I think. He's dead, isn't he?
Yeah.
Man, the good ones die. See, Boyd?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why I said that.
We're brought to you by King City Lumber up in King City, Missouri, where our old duck club used to be.
That's the place
up there. For you humans out here that need a barn built behind your house for your horsey, Mark's going to buy a horsey. He doesn't know it yet. And if you need a cabin in the woods, or maybe you need an outbuilding to put your combine in, got an awful lot of farmers that listen to this show. There's no finer humans in King City Lumber. Please go to their website, kingcitylumber.com, or give them a call at 660-535-4337. I don't know why I gave out that telephone number. Nobody's ever written it down in their entire life. But I do it just for the heck of it. But these are a family-owned operation. They use nothing but master craftsmen, first-rate lumber. And if you're not happy, they're not happy. Go to their website. You'll spend about 20, 30 minutes on the website. And if you don't see something on there that you like, I'd be shocked. But if you want something designed, they will help you. Marty and Monty Tunks, the family is great humans, as we say. So, again, King City Lumber Company, King City, Missouri, kingcitylumber.com. Go by and see those guys on their website or stick your head in. If you happen to go to King City, Missouri, you can go in there. Our guest, our special guest in the studio, we're going to talk about HSM ammunition, and you got to shoot this stuff to believe it, but that's where we're going to start. But, me and you have been around this industry for way too long. With SHOT Show, back when it was in Dallas, New Orleans, Atlanta.
A little time before that. I mean, most people don't even realize the first SHOT Show was in St. Louis, 1979.
Wow.
That was number one.
Yeah. The SHOT Show now, for people who are listening to this, is Shooting, Hunting, Outdoor Trade Show.
Yep.
Is in Las Vegas, Nevada, in the convention center out there, and it's spilled over so big it was outside. They've got so many humans coming to this thing. And you walk through this show, and you hear every language in the world. There's Russians there. There's Japanese, German. It is something to see. And the reason I bring this up, I don't know if I could say concerned as a word, bothersome maybe. I don't know how to put it, but the industry's in a doldrum, I think. Is that a fair statement? And now that they're coming out with the NRA is broke and they're being sued out of oblivion, what's your thoughts? You've been around this industry. You got some thoughts on this.
Well, unfortunately, I think it's cyclical. Some of it's the product of people being concerned with the Second Amendment going away. As the political climate changes, the gun industry seems to follow closely behind that as far as being comfortable. The current President Trump is a big NRA supporter. He was at the NRA show in Texas here the other month in May. And people have just become comfortable, number one. And number two, I think there's a lot of other activities that seem to take up people's time and cost money. So the gun industry is pushed, put aside, I guess is the best way I can put it. And that's where we're at right now. It's just slowed down. And those of us that have been in this business for quite a few years, we say that it's back to a state of normalcy.
Yeah. That's a good point, because it did go ballistic, didn't it?
Yeah, it really did. I mean, it was a fear. It was fear-driven, unfortunately. People wanted to make sure that they had ammunition so that they can enjoy shooting and hunting and personal protection. And they just, it just went crazy. And not unlike a lot of other things, you can't have that much growth for that long. And it's nothing's forever, Fred.
Mm-hmm. What should we raise our eyebrows about all this litigation against the NRA? They say they're bankrupt. If you turn on CNN, they're out of business. Oh, my goodness, they're glad they're gone type attitude. Is this much to do about nothing?
Well, once again, what's the old adage? Believe half of what you see and none of what you hear.
Yeah.
I don't mean that. I don't mean to direct that at you and Mark by any stretch of the imagination.
Well, you should.
Here we sit on the radio talking. But I think, I think fear sells, unfortunately. And the organization of which I've been a life member and a benefactor member since 1970, I believe, a life member, but they're in a situation where they're trying to defend the rights of gun ownership and the Second Amendment, and it takes money. I mean, whether it's this show or a TV show or whatever, there's a cost factor involved, and they're fighting the battle on a lot of different fronts.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's one of the things that has cost them a lot of money. As far as them going away, I don't feel that'll happen.
Never, ever.
No,
will.
No. There's support from people like yourself and myself and this entire industry, and I think they'll be there. Do they need help? Do they need money? I believe so. I think that's a constant, ongoing thing. It's
sure.
It's not like unlike anything else. Your show, you need sponsors.
Sure, exactly right. You said something about fear factor. I've got a very good friend that is a law-abiding, honest, good American, and he got caught up in this thing, and he went out and bought 5,000 or 6,000 rounds of ammunition. He put 10 guns in his house in his basement because he said they're coming after us and they're going to get us. And what's your thoughts on that? I mean, it was bizarre.
I think gun ownership is a heritage to our country, our great country. Is it being pressured, infringed on because of all the bad things that are happening? Yes. Will they go away? I don't think so. I don't think that's certainly not in yours and my future. Mark, he's a younger fella.
Yeah.
But for us, I don't think that's the situation. We have a lot of laws, Fred, and I don't want to be political here, but we have a lot of laws on the books that just need to be put into effect, and put into effect by the courts and the judicial system.
I agree.
So I don't think that continuing to pass laws, these are sound good things. I mean,
exactly.
The politicians say, look what I did. We put this. We're not allowed to do this anymore. And yet if you sit down and you read the laws that are on the books today, they're redundant.
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
These things are out there. Instead of slapping someone's hands, they need to enforce the laws and maximize the penalties for the people doing the crimes.
Yeah.
And
very well
unfortunately,
put.
The inanimate mm-hmm. object being the firearm, that's who gets blamed because it doesn't speak for itself, actually.
Yeah.
I mean, the gun doesn't say, I'm innocent. Mm-hmm. You've got a politico or an individual saying, I didn't know what I was doing or something. And it's a sad state of affairs.
Sure is.
If I can relate to something, when I was growing up, back east on a farm. I mean, in hunting season, we'd go to school in the morning and we'd have our rifle or shotgun sitting in the back seat of the car
sure.
or the truck so that when we got off school, we could go hunting. It was not an uncommon thing in a small community. Matter of fact, Pennsylvania to this day, on the opening day of deer season, with the exception of Philadelphia and Pittsburgh, the large metro areas, the schools close.
Which should be.
The opening day of deer season is a holiday in Pennsylvania because the kids, over the years, there was so much absenteeism that they said, okay, we'll just close the school on the opening of deer season.
You know, I read, and I don't remember, I'm going to make up this number, I don't remember the exact number, I'm old and I forget things, but I think there's like 16,500 gun laws on the books. And so when you have these wackos that get a gun and do something bizarre, they pass another, and so that makes it 16,501. Then it makes it 16,502. And you can pass all the rules and regulations that you want, but, you know, we had a I've got a Casey's there by my house, and a guy robbed it with a stick, threatened to beat the girl in the head with a stick, and she gave him the money. Well, I think we ought to outlaw all sticks. You know, I mean, where do you stop on this thing? This is nonsense. It's starting to aggravate me the older I get, too.
Oh, yeah. Well, once again, I just think we have a people problem. I mean, everything, not you, Fred. You're not included in this, at least not from my viewpoint. Yeah. But I think we have a people problem and an attitude problem.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. People just... You know, if you scream loud enough, someone pays attention, or as the old adage goes, squeaky wheel gets the oil.
Yeah, true.
And that's what's happened in our industry, and it's a good industry, and it's been around for a long time, and firearms are not the problem.
Yeah.
People are the problem.
Yeah, exactly.
I just don't know how else to put it. I grew up in a farm climate, and we have a gun sitting in the barn, you know, to shoot rats or
sure.
or vermin or whatever. So having a loaded gun around just never seemed to be a problem or a consideration.
Exactly. Exactly. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the Midwest Outdoors. Our guest is Boyd Matz in the studio with us. We're going to talk about HSM. And everybody just went, huh? What? Where? Not everybody, but a lot of people do. And you're going to hear more and more about, they're going to start being one of our key sponsors here in the month of September. I think it's going to be kind of entertaining for you. So put your feet up, grab you that second cup of coffee. We've got to take a little break. We'll be right back with you. For music. I like that. What the heck? They show you I'm not real old. Yeah, I am too. Hey, we're brought to you by Highway Trailer Sales, my good friend Terry Lee, one of the finest humans to walk the face of the earth. I like this guy.
Mm-hmm.
We did this contract on a handshake. We didn't sign nothing. Isn't that wonderful?
That's the way to do it.
Highway Trailer Sales. You guys getting ready to what little corn there is left to combine and what few soybeans there will be. You got to take it to town anyway. See what they'll give you for it, which always aggravates me. If your trailer is in disrepair, several of them got rolled last year. They got in a hurry. You know, they had so much of it, and they'd roll them off.
You see it every year.
Well, he fixed a lot of them. But anyway, 1850 Southern Road, I-435 just west of World of Fun. That's where basically where I can kind of give you where they're at. I don't care what kind of trailer. For you guys that are pulling an 18-wheeler rig and got those big trucks, this is the guy you want to do business with. Got 10 service bays, get you in, get you out, fix it and fix it completely and fix it right. If you're not happy, he's not happy. Go by and see this fantastic person. Love him like a brother. Highway Trailer Sales. I got a brother I didn't think too much of. I don't know if I should have said that or not.
Fred.
Well, he was kind of a, never mind. Oh, I don't want to go down that family road. Weird family. Terry Lee, Highway Trailer Sales. Go by and see him. You're going to love him. Great guy.
Do you remember a television show? I think it was called The Red Green Show. It was on public television.
Yes.
Old crusty guy. I think it was like based in a lodge in Canada.
Yes.
Well, for people out there that haven't been to our Facebook page, go and look at this video we've got on there. It's Midwest Outdoors Sports Radio 810 WHB. But anyway, we've got a clip of the Red Green Show, and he was showing how not to jackknife a trailer. So he starts off, he goes to a boat ramp and jackknifes the boat. So he gets this bright idea, goes home, and he rigs up this deal on his garage door to cut his truck in half. So he cuts the truck in half, and then he takes the trailer and hooks it up inside the front of the cab. So it's part of the vehicle now. So it can't turn. Anyways, it's kind of clever. Check that out. Yeah, if you haven't been to our Facebook page, do that and give us a like. We really appreciate it.
I can't believe how difficult it is for me to back a trailer. Been doing it all my life.
Fred, they make these little gadgets on the dash of the trucks now that you turn the knob. I know my car will park itself.
Yeah.
And they have the ones now that do the trailers.
Yeah, I didn't even know that.
Backs up the trailers. I just saw the commercial, the father and son in the truck.
I saw it,
Yeah, he said, okay, yeah. Son. The son turns the knob, backs the boat right into the water.
I got a video camera on the back of mine now, and I didn't think I would like it. The more I drove this truck, the better I liked it. I bought it at Reed Chevrolet, by the way.
That's right.
Plug for our sponsor. But you kind of get strung out on it. You know, it's really, really cool and a thing. HSM, for some of our listeners that maybe do not have the gray matter lined up, what about this company? Who is it and where are they at, and how long have they been in business?
Well, HSM is basically a company that was called the Hunting Shack. Yeah, that
cool.
was it. That Bill and Catherine Campbell started the company 50 years ago.
Wow.
This is their 50th year in business, 2018. And HSM just became an easier transition and recognition symbol. Tom, our ad fellow that's here with us today, Hunting Shack Montana basically is what HSM is meant to stand for, and we do the logo, and it was just easier than saying the Hunting Shack. You know, somebody could always say, I know Fred would probably say, well, the Hunting Shack, do you have a roll of white paper out there or anything?
Yeah, right.
No, we just have the Sears Roebuck catalog
out of page.
Yeah. But been around a long time. They started the company, as I said, 50 years ago. I've been involved with them for close to 18 years now. And just wonderful people. Basic premise from day one, Bill Campbell's thought was, if you're going to make something, make it right. And making it right in the ammunition business is making it accurate.
Mm-hmm.
And that has been the key thing that's driven the company. All the products are tested repeatedly. All the products are monitored for QC. And all the products, honestly, are accurate. Now, I know you've had a little experience with some of our products. One of our unique products, a low recoil product. This product we designed, and by playing with powders, not just the volume of powder, but the makeup of the various powders out there, we were able to develop some loads that reduced recoil in 7 calibers by approximately 50%.
Wow. That's unreal.
Yeah.
God.
That's a lot. And it's a lot when you look at the 300 Win Mag and the 7 Mag.
Exactly what I was going to say.
Yeah. I mean, you shot some 243. 243 is a pleasant, extremely popular caliber. But it shoots almost like a 222 now.
Exactly.
And it's an accurate round. Is it a long-range round? No. But it's 250 yards, we recommend, be a maximum range. The bullet was developed by Sierra, a good Missouri company.
Sure is.
Down in Sedalia. Yeah. And these folks are just great to work with. They've done a lot for us. And the bullet they developed performs outstanding. It's a tipped bullet. Has an orange tip on it, our color. And they've done a lot of ballistic testing. I saw the gel shooting and everything. And the bullet continues to perform out to 250 yards, maybe a little farther, but we recommend 250. And in talking with different people within our industry and within your profession, most of the game, deer, antelope, even elk, not as much with elk, primarily deer and antelope, 150 yards maximum range.
Sure.
Look in Missouri, I mean, You don't get that. You get Western Kansas, you may get the long-range shots. These are the specialty guys that want to do things like that, and they want to shoot them at 500, 600, 700, 800 yards. But good, clean kills and good, clean shots, 150 yards average. Mm-hmm. Maximum distance for 90% of the deer that are shot, not just locally, but in the United States.
And that's with the low recoil?
Yeah.
That's unreal.
Yeah.
Tremendous. Until you shoot it, you don't understand. You know, I was pretty naive about it. You know, I'm like anybody else, do you want to get hit with a 4-pound hammer or an 8-pound hammer? And I prefer the four if you're going to hit me, but which you should. But I took it down to the range and got some from you and took my 243, which is dead on, croaked one off. I shot high left. And I went away from, there was a bunch of guys I shoot with. I went off to my side and shot this. We didn't want to interfere with them and didn't want any input from them. Something went on in my brain real quick, which what's left of it. And I thought, I didn't hardly feel this. So the next one, I dot it. You know, I put it right where it's supposed to be. And the next one, I dot it. I put it right into the next hole. And I had to walk down there to look because I thought, I wonder what I did wrong. And I didn't do anything wrong. It was in the next hole. I could see the perimeter of the next bullet. And I went, wow. You know, the essence of this load, HSM, regardless if it's in a low recoil or whatever, it puts the fun back in the sport, puts the accuracy back in the sport. And they're phenomenal people.
Well, we're trying to get young people into the sport. And we have a lot of female shooters that are coming into the
cool.
sport. And you have a lot of old people like you, Fred.
Yeah, wore out.
You know? Yeah. But in all seriousness, recoil is just not the most pleasant thing to deal with. And particularly, you don't feel it when you're shooting at a deer. I mean, it's something.
Adrenaline going.
Right, Mark. That's it. I mean, it's bing, bing, bang, boom. You don't. But when you go out to zero the rifle and you go, do I really want to do this?
Yeah.
You know, and boy, this is going to hurt, and so on and so forth. And that's why we thought there's definitely a marketplace. But the thing we wanted to do and the thing that we were able to accomplish with Sierra's help was the fact that the bullet weights that we use are compatible with standard load
there
bullet
you
weights.
Go.
We didn't reduce recoil by giving you some little light bullet that's going to be ineffective.
I did a lot of interviews over the years, and I was talking with Mike Jordan. I don't know if you know Mike with Winchester. Olin was head of product research and development. And I said to him on the air one day, I said, what's the best deer gun? And he looked at me so funny, and he said, Fred, he said, which way is the deer facing? And I thought, you know, that does, you know, make a very valid point on the thing. Made me feel like about 2 inches tall. But he did make a very, very valid point on this thing. Well, HSM, what I can tell on this right now is I have the confidence back that I didn't have before because I'm getting beat up.
Yeah. Well, in our catalog and on our website, www.hsmammunition.com, but on our website, I have a little girl, Western Nebraska. I worked with her father, and I'd given him, she's 11 years old, Ansley, and she went out, and she just fell in love with him. I mean, to the point where her dad said to me, well, she said, we're going to zero the gun, Dad. Are we going to use that low recoil ammunition? And, you know, it's a product that a lot of people don't understand, and it's a product that I'm trying to sell it, obviously, but you have to try it.
Just you believe it.
Yeah. It's almost like test driving a car.
Exactly. Exactly.
I mean, I don't know how else to describe it. You have to try it to believe it.
Yeah. I shoot with a bunch of guys, five or six of us. I've already converted five or six of them. One of them's a conehead. You couldn't convert him if you had to. But, and I love him dearly, but he just, bullheaded. This low recoil thing, it puts the fun back into shooting.
Yeah.
It puts the accuracy back into shooting because that's why you're out there. You want accuracy. I cannot stand it when I watch a show when somebody gut shoots a deer. It just drives me ballistic. Now I want to get this point in real quick on this low recoil. It's available on a 243, mm-hmm. a 270, mm-hmm. a 7mm 08, a 7mm mm-hmm. Remington Magnum, a 308 Winchester, a 30-06 Springfield, and a 300 Win Mag, and the higher the proportion on this, the 30-06, the 300, the more you're going to enjoy it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's extremely evident when you get into the Magnum guns. And it's with 150-grain bullet. We're using 150-grain bullets. the 7 and the 7mm Remington mag. We're using the 140s, the 270s.
Exactly.
We're using 130 grain. Pretty much the standard accepted bullets that people buy off the shelf in regular ammunition.
I would think this news is stealing the industry a little bit. I would think it's raising some eyebrows.
It has been. There's been similar products, but once again, they've reduced recoil by reducing bullet weight.
Mm-hmm.
And when you do that, you kind of rob the function.
You love lethality.
I shot it there last year. I had some shoulder problems, and I shot it with a 243, and was just amazed at the outstanding performance of the 85-grain bullet in a 243 Winchester.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and we're going off on a tangent here a little bit. One of the bullets that amazes me, and I've been reading an awful lot about this, and read your brochures, I've read online, I've read some independent stuff. It says Trophy Gold.
Oh, yeah.
This is for the guy that's going moose hunting up in Alaska, and he wants a performance load. And he's finally drew a dull sheep permit or a sheep permit. So you got to have something that you go, wow, I got confidence in this. A little bit about Trophy Gold. What's the difference?
Well, Trophy Gold is loaded with a Berger bullet. Berger came into our industry years ago and came into the match part of the industry. That's what they were known for. They were, for competition, they were developing long-range bullets with a high ballistic coefficient, which basically in layman terms is how the bullet performs and travels through the air. And they built themselves a great reputation. Well, they decided to get into the hunting bullet area by changing the composure of the bullet, the jacket thickness and so on,
sure,
so that it would not only be accurate, retain their accuracy, but give them penetration and expansion performance.
Mm-hmm.
And they've done a heck of a job. To date, to the best of my knowledge, there are some companies out there that are loading their match bullet. We are the only company, HSM, that's loading their hunting bullet.
Exactly.
And it is just fantastic. Yeah, it's a 500, 700, probably an 800-yard.
Sure is.
Performing bullet.
Yeah. And that might be what's going to have to happen.
Yeah.
You know.
And if that's what you're looking for, but at the same time, it'll perform within that 100-yard, 150-yard range.
Yeah.
And the accuracy of it is just phenomenal. I mean, you know, I don't think, and I've been reloading for a long time, 50, 60 years, and I don't think that you can get down in the basement and sit down with your Lyman RCBS press, your Hodgdon pattern, your Sierra bullets. I don't think you can produce a more accurate round of ammunition than we're putting in our boxes right now. And I know I'm biased, but read the articles, go to our website, go on YouTube, look at what the people that write the articles are saying about us.
Yeah, don't take our word for it. Look, mm-hmm. Do some research.
Right.
You know, one other thing I might throw in here, I know it went, is the price of this. I thought, well, this is one of these loads that's going to go off the chart, and I'm going to have to reach for my billfold and double thickness. It's not necessarily so. You're very, very competitive on the prices.
We are competitive on the prices. We're not a big company. You know, we're a small company sitting there in southwestern Montana. Good people. Everyone in the organization's a hunter and a shooter and a hard worker. And we feel that our products are fair priced. You can do a price comparison anytime you like. Go online, and a couple places come to mind. Obviously, Cabela's.
Sure.
Midway.
Sure.
Sportsman's Warehouse, for the people that are out west that are listening to us in not quite California, Fred. I don't think you're reaching out there to the left coast.
Good on podcast.
Yeah, the good on podcast.
Yeah, good on podcast.
But yes, we're conscious of pricing.
Sure.
And I think you'll find us to be very competitive in the price game. And speaking of game, if you want a standard load, we've talked about low recoil, we've talked about Trophy Gold. Our game came.
Yes, next point.
Yeah, features Sierra's. Everybody that's reloaded has used a Sierra Game King bullet at some time or another. And our Game King ammunition, once again, I'm back to, you know, I harp at it. Sometimes they say, don't you know any other word but accuracy? But no, that's the key. The shooter can't compensate for good accuracy. I mean,
yeah, exactly.
All we've planned and tried to do is reduce the error factor.
Yeah.
By building accurate ammunition. Yeah. And our Game King ammunition with Sierra bullets, full spectrum of loads, all the calibers, and something that will perform and compete in any marketplace.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Bring competitive everything, every facet of the shooting industry. Accuracy and price. And here, you know, I mean, I'm looking at the chart here from 243s clear down to 7 mags.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got everything in between on this thing. It's, you know, and for the money, the value, and everything from 150 all the way up to 300 grain bullets. I don't know how you get any better than that right there. So, you know, and here's something I just wanted to ask you about just while you're here and we're live. I hate to tell you this. One of the guys that I shoot with took the brass and wanted to reload it, and that's part of the industry, you know. Okay, so he's into that, and that's okay. I like that. He says better brass. Is there any validity to this?
Well,
brass or what?
Gosh, you know, there's specs on brass, but I will say, once again, Sierra, who we have a great relationship with over in Sedalia, Missouri, came out of California a lot of years ago just because of all the rules, regulations, and problems. And our brass is primarily Starline. They're a block down the street from Sierra.
Wow.
And they manufacture some of the best brass in the world.
Well, there's something to this, then.
Yeah, there is. I mean, you know, it's consistent, and it all depends on how involved you want to get. I mean, some of these guys
that's too serious.
Well, you know, just as a sidebar, even to the point where they weigh the case, then they fill the case with water, and they weigh it full of water, and to see if the volume, and they do this with the next case, filling it with water.
Oh,
Mark,
yeah.
Mark's looking at me like,
you got to be kidding me, really. I know.
Mark, they don't fill them with vodka. They use water.
You're out, Tobin.
Yeah. You know, they don't. They can't put vodka in. But they actually are measuring the volume of the case by filling it with water and weighing it.
Yeah.
And Starline,
I got a guy just like that.
Yeah, and Starline is that consistent.
Real quick, we've only got 3 minutes left, but this 6.5 Creedmoor, everybody I talked to here lately has bought one.
Oh, yeah.
You guys got the 6.5 Creedmoor.
We have it, and we have it with Sierra bullets. We have it with Berger bullets, and it's very accurate. I have a couple of rifles in it, and... I've been pleasantly surprised, and I will tell you that on the heels of that is the 6mm Creedmoor now. I've not shot it. We're developing ammunition for it, but I guess you could call it a Hot Rod 243.
Yeah, I guess that's what you'd call it.
Yeah.
I thought it was going to be a flash in the pan. We've seen guns come and go, short magnums, da-da-da-da, you know. This 6.5 Creedmoor's got some merit. I've shot them. They're very accurate. I think it's probably going to be around a little bit.
Well, if you look in Europe, 6.5, 55.
Yes.
One of the largest selling calibers in all of Europe is the 6.5, 55. So the 6.5 bullet has a good reputation, all the mechanics of being accurate and a performing round. And in this Creedmoor developed, and when Creedmoor developed it, he found out something that we all knew.
Yeah. The 6.5 has been around a while, but now all of a sudden it's just bloomed and it's really gotten big. Okay, here locally in Kansas City Market, HSM can be bought at Cabela's Bass Pro right now?
Cabela's Bass Pro, Midway.
Midway.
And if they don't have it, I would ask you to go in. Talk to your dealer. A lot of good shops in the area.
Yeah, ask them to get it.
Tell them you want it.
Yeah,
they can
exactly.
get it. We have distribution and we have product with people they're doing business with.
Boyd, thank you for coming by.
Thank you.
I want to check out that low recoil.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
No more flinching.
Hey, I'm going to tell you what. Now, it'll put you back in the game. I mean, no more flinching. You know, you go home
that's
and take
thing.
Your shirt off, had that little bruise,
right, yeah.
that little yellow spot. No more. I'm telling you, they got me. They hooked me.
Yep.
And I took a lot. I'm from Missouri. Got to show me. So it works. And I think it'll be accurate up 300 yards, but I'm just saying that out loud. I shouldn't say that again. But anyway, we got to go, Boyd. Thank you. Thank Tom
thank
for coming
you.
Over.
Very interesting.
Very
Thanks,
interesting
Mark.
Show. I like this.
Yeah.
Got to go for this week, ladies and gentlemen. The next time we see you, I hope we see you in a great outdoors.
Have a great week. So long, everybody.